Amen. Please remain standing for the scripture text for the exhortation from Galatians 5. If you'd like to turn there, you can, or just listen. Galatians 5, verses 13 through 15. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. You may be seated. If you didn't get a chance to, turn to Galatians 5, 13 through 15. This morning, I'd like to do something a little bit different. I'd like to take the opportunity to bring an exhortation and some encouragements on kind of a particular topic. As many of you know, we built a new octoball court. Did anybody see that out there? Does anybody have no idea what octoball is? Okay, that's fine. If you ever, though, partake of that game, let's enter into it with the right mindset. Amen? And the right view of love, so that we may use this opportunity to exercise our freedom in Christ. Now, whether it be octoball, foursquare, volleyball, or just playing on the playground, or any other recreational activity in life, we can apply these principles of God's word. In fact, let me broaden this, because you will find a similar need for God's truth in work, at school, in your chores, at home, and in relationships. So let's apply it to all of those areas. You know, there's so much we could discuss when we talk about games or sports. A competitive spirit rises up within us. Isn't that kind of exciting? It's kind of fun. There's an opportunity to win. And it's also relationship building, isn't it? It's kind of heart knitting to do something together. But if we don't remember who we are in Christ, a striving for the flesh can rise up within us, can't it? And can take away that enjoyment. And we can even hurt one another. Or as our text says today, bite and devour one another. So let's look at the word and see what our King has to say to us, all right? We know that in Jesus Christ, he died for all. That those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sakes died and was raised. So we're alive and free. Free from living for ourselves any longer. Amen. That's right, brother. Unchained, as it were. Unchained from the vices of sin that grip us and tempt us to live for ourselves. So how do we apply this in life? Well, there's many ways. We could discuss integrity. Anybody played dodgeball? Okay, there's more of you that played that, so that's good. Let's say you get hit by the ball in dodgeball. Do you look around and go, did anybody see that? Maybe I can still stay in if nobody noticed. Or are you free from that self-love? Are you harnessed with the knowledge that God sees all things? Are you girded with the faith that he's glorified when you're honest? Or we could discuss pride. I noticed in octoball, there's a great desire amongst everyone to tell other people when they're out. Oh, you got hit, you're out! What's the heart behind that? Is it one of love or pride? Do you have the humble mind of Christ that we're not here on earth to point out others' flaws and failures, but to speak good to one another, to edify one another, to impart grace to our hearers. Slow to speak, quick to listen. This is our privilege and liberty in Christ. And then there's all those times when maybe you were called out of the game wrongly, or when someone else in life got ahead by cheating. What will our response be then? Certainly a call for justice. But the overwhelming example of our Lord and his humility and his call for maturity are clear in 1 Corinthians 6, brother to brother, why would you rather not accept wrong? Why would you rather not let yourselves be cheated? For you were washed, you were sanctified, you were cleansed in the name of the Lord Jesus. For we are not overcome by evil, but we overcome evil with good. What precious promises, amen? What can we do then with a Godward view of these circumstances in our life? We can be confident in Christ. We can stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free and not be entangled with the yoke of bondage to sin and self. Indeed, standing firmly in our identity in Christ and holding fast to that liberty which he won is very powerful, very encouraging, very life-giving, and actually very peace-invoking. With this view, he will keep in perfect peace those whose mind are stayed on him because they trust in him. So whether it be a job, a business, school, relationships, or even on the octoball court, don't see these conflicts of integrity, these risings up of pride, these false accusations as some troublesome circumstance to run away from. No, these are opportunities to testify an exercise of your liberty in Christ, that you don't have to live for yourself anymore. You can win the game, amen, and that's fun. But we never, never want to win the game at the expense of our integrity. Never, never at the expense of being rude and unkind to others. Never at the expense of stealing glory from our God, who gave all for you. For his glory is the preeminent goal in our lives. So this is how we look with unveiled eyes of faith. We let our eyes look straight ahead, fixing our gaze directly before us, giving careful thought to the paths of our feet, being steadfast in all of our ways, not turning to the right or the left, and keeping our feet from evil. So if you're hit by the ball, an octoball, and you're called out, maybe you lose a business deal, or maybe you break a sliding glass window when you're weed-eating somebody's lawn like I did on Thursday, take it on. Own it. Embrace the opportunity to be humbled. Be refined and thank God that he loves you. And he's right with you in the midst of it. Rest in the fact that he's in control. For this is what we can do as Christians. Because we're free from death. We're free from self-love. We're free from running to escapism. We're free to live for him. And so all that we do, every word, every response, every touch of the ball in a game is for his glory. Well, how can we practically do that, you ask? Glad you asked. We remember the promises of God as his children, that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For the liberty to which we're called in Christ enables us to look, think, walk, see, and yes, even play according to the Spirit of God. For we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God. And by that Spirit, liberty enables you to watch, to stand fast in faith. That liberty enables that all that you do be done in love. That liberty in Christ enables us to set our minds, our wills, our affections on things above. That liberty enables us to live in the Spirit, and therefore we can keep in step with the Spirit, not in step with the world and the flesh, but with God. So with the liberty we have in Christ, joyfully filling our hearts, someone standing with an earshot of that octoball court should hear what? Laughter. Encouragement, edifying words, building up words, because this is what we have the freedom to do. As freed children of the King, it's no longer about us, it's about him. So let's take this rich inheritance we have in Christ of liberty, of freedom, and not use it as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have freed us from the bondage of sin and death and self. Oh, Father, we confess to you that many times we like to return even to this bondage, even as the Israelites did after being freed. Take us back to the bondage. Take us back that we may serve ourselves. Oh, Lord, we say no. And we pray that you would quicken within our heart and the Spirit would do a deep work that we could live for you and live no longer for ourselves, but through love, serve one another. Oh God, we pray that you would help us to do this now and that we would decrease and you would increase and your glory would be made known. We take a moment now to individually confess our sins to you.